again, dinner with Jesus, but this time, an invitation to dinner from Jesus. Before, Jesus was the one who was invited to dinner, and I told you about the briefings he gave to others who were going out to dinner. But today, briefly from two passages, an invitation to dinner from Jesus. John chapter 6, verse 5. Jesus therefore, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a great multitude cometh unto him, saith unto Philip, whence are we to buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 shillings worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here who hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many? Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus therefore took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to them that were set down, and likewise also of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he saith unto his disciples, gather up the broken pieces which remain over, that nothing be lost. So they gathered them up, and filled 12 baskets with broken pieces from the 5 barley loaves which remained over unto them that had eaten. And now, look at verse farther along in chapter 6, verse 25. And these people that had dined with Jesus, they found him on the other side of the sea. They said unto him, Rabbi, whence camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Now, chapter 21. You remember Peter says, I go a-fishing. And 6 others say, we go with thee. And verse 3, they went forth and entered into a boat, and that night they took nothing. But when day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus therefore saith unto them, children, have you aught to eat? They answered him, no. Now, look at verse 8. You remember the draft of fishes they catch. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, about 200 cubits off, dragging the net full of fishes. So when they got out upon the land, they see a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now taken. Simon Peter therefore went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, the net was not rent. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst inquire of him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus cometh, and taketh the bread, and giveth them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples, after that he was risen from the dead. So, when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me more than these? And so forth. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for yet another portion telling us about dinner with Jesus. We marvel that there is so much eating and drinking in the Bible. We thank you for every portion, how practical and down to earth are the lessons it contains. Let us know, our Father, that we could speak of heavenly things, but thy word doth tell us of earthly things, of eating and drinking, and thy Spirit hath chosen the proportion. We thank you for this. But while there are these lessons, there are others as well, and we pray, our God, that we shall understand them also. So prepare our hearts to receive as seed into good soil the words that have been read this morning. Thou knowest our sins. We confess them. Forgive and cleanse as thou hast promised. And our Father, thou dost know that like unto water poured upon the ground, that is what we are apart from thine empowering. So empower us and glorify thy name this morning. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. One day after John the Baptist had pointed to the Lord Jesus twice, two of the disciples followed him, and he saw them following him, and he said to them, What seek ye? And they said, Rabbi, where do you live? And he said, Come and see. Now here is a remarkable thing, that God the Son, who had from eternity lived in heaven, came to earth and lived in some sort of house made of stone or wood or material things. And this is more startling. He lived next door to somebody. And this person did not realize it, but living next door to him in a humble abode was God the Son. Is that not a remarkable thing? Another thing just as remarkable is this, that our Savior is he who made all things, and that is what I would like to tell you about the Savior. It says, All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that hath been made. Let me tell you about Jesus the Creator. His hands are the ones that created this vast universe in which we find ourselves. But I read to you in John chapter 21 that the hands that created the universe built a fire coal and made little bread cakes and put them on the fire, and clean fish, and put them on the fire as well. Now, isn't that a remarkable thing? That he who lived in heaven dwelt on earth, and he who created the heavens and the earth with his hands now, the hands of Jesus, God manifest in the flesh. He made a fire, he took fish, he took bread, and then with those hands he served the disciples. That's why I'm telling you about this. I would like to tell you about the fingers of God that created heaven. But the Spirit of God said, Tell them in John 21 about the fingers of the Son of God that made a fire and made some bread and took a fish and cleaned it and put it on that fire. Isn't that a remarkable thing? So he wants us to know both. And I have to tell you both. I'd rather tell you about heavenly things. But if I did, I would have to leave out John chapter 21. I would have to leave out John chapter 6. And the Lord would not have that. Now, there was another portion that I was going to read, but rather than have you turn to it, do you know that there is a verse in the Bible that says this, Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stall ox and hatred therewith. And I gave a message once, and I must give a full message if I go down the road, a dinner where love is. You'll find that. It says, better is a dinner with herbs where love is. A dinner where love is. Well, in these past weeks, when I told you about having dinner with Jesus, when he was invited to the Pharisees' houses, was there love there? You say, it certainly didn't seem like it was very much. They watched every move he made. We'll see if he's going to wash his hands. We'll see if he's observing punctiliously every law of the traditions of the scribes and Pharisees. And if there were the slightest infraction according to their interpretation of that law, they would say, why are you not washing your hands? What are your disciples doing eating bread on the Sabbath day, gathering that grain? They criticized him constantly. You think that was dinner where love was? You say, that was a dinner where strife and contention and controversy was? And do you think Jesus enjoyed being there? Would you? And yet, he went. And then, when all that controversy was there, he would seek to straighten it out. I told you that. He would go and get in the midst of all that controversy, and rather than quietly and contentedly enjoying his dinner, he would straighten out as much as he could all the quarrels and quibbling, explain how they had misinterpreted the law. And even when he's with Mary and Martha says, Lord, don't you understand my sister? Martha, Martha. And he would try to straighten out the contention against the two sisters. And so even at times when he was with those whom he loved, and I have no doubt they loved him, at times, because you love a person, and this person has manifested his love to you, you become familiar with that person. You forget the dignity of that person. And she goes up to Jesus and says, Lord, bid my sister that she come and help me. Don't you understand that I've been left all alone? Can you imagine such a thing? So, at times, when Jesus was invited to dinner, there was no love, there was hatred, or there was a little love, we'll see about that after a while, or there was love, but there were violations of behavior from those that loved the Lord Jesus. But those that he loved, especially like Mary and Martha and Lazarus, he went and had dinner with them. Those that hated him, if there were a stalled ox with hatred therewith, Jesus could remember that verse. A dinner of herbs where love is. That's what Jesus wanted. Rather than a stalled ox with hatred therewith. And yet Jesus made himself because there were things that he wanted to do. And yet he said, yet how should the scripture be fulfilled? And so the Savior went and spent his dinner hours with people that caused him tension and friction and unrest, and so the Savior would do what he could. All right. Let me ask you this. When Jesus is the host and not the guest, do you think that he would ever violate any of the things that he taught that should be done according to polite scriptural etiquette? Do you think that he would ever violate anything that he told others should be done? You say, I think not. Why, of course not. And for that reason, I read you from John 6 and from John chapter 21 when Jesus was the one who served dinner. At times, and this is what is so humorous, at times, when Jesus was serving dinner, he would say, what do you have? And whatever you had, he said, you give it to me. And he would serve that. But in John chapter 21, and it's all so mysterious, I told you that he made the fire and made the cake. Can you prove otherwise? It says when they came to shore, nobody was there but Jesus, and there was a coal of fire there, and bread and fish. The only thing I know is that Jesus did it. You don't read that anybody came and did all that for him, because the Lord Jesus did everything for himself on earth that he could. He did not, as some would like to say, why, he just spoke the word and it miraculously happened. Yes, that's what people would like to think. Like when Jesus went to that fig tree and there were no figs there. You see, Jesus miraculously said, now be full of figs. And then he went and picked the figs. He went hungry. That's what people fail to understand, because Jesus worked a few miracles. They think that he's going to do it in every emergency, but only when the Spirit of God said, this is the time to work a miracle. And there was no miracle needed in that instance. And so the Savior, according to the precedents that we have and the examples, he did everything himself unless it was absolutely essential to perform a miracle. Now, I told you these things were essential. A dinner where love is. When he was in the house of Simon the Pharisee, he went in, sat down, and they began dinner. And we would never know what was going on in Jesus' heart unless Simon had thought evil thoughts against a woman's behavior toward Jesus. And then Jesus said, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And then while telling Simon what he had done wrong, at the same time, he exposed his heart. He said, I came into your house. He said, you gave me no water for my feet. He expected that. Do you realize it? He said, I came into your house and you gave me no kiss. Do you know he expected that? And he said, I came into your house and you did not anoint my head with oil. Do you know he expected that honor to be bestowed upon him? But if it were not forthcoming, the Lord Jesus would say nothing unless a crisis demanded it. And I thank God for it, because now I know that though Jesus did not demand it, he expected it. When he was with those on the road to Emmaus, and he came to their home, he made as if he would go along farther. Why? Because he's not going to intrude upon them. And so they said, you come and dine with us. And the Lord Jesus said, yes. And before the evening is over, he's the one that's breaking the bread. Isn't that remarkable? Bring me what you've got and I'll feed it to others. And he comes into their home and he's breaking the bread. A remarkable thing. But that is the Savior. But whenever he was in another person's house, there was tension and friction and criticism falsely against him and others that he allowed to do certain things. One woman is worshiping him and she's criticized. And Mary is learning at his feet from Jesus and she's criticized. And the Lord said, let this woman alone and let this woman alone. They've chosen the good part. It's not going to be taken away from them. And so the Lord Jesus had to straighten out mistakes and misunderstandings all the time. But if there were slights shown him, he would say nothing unless it were affecting another. And that is tender and that is moving. And so we understand that Jesus was not devoid of a need for love and the common things that other people need. It says this. He said, I sought for comforters, and I found none. And so the Lord Jesus wants to be loved and wants to be shown courtesy and wants to be shown respect the same way everybody else does. But he does not demand it. Not now. But eventually, it is demanded of all creatures by the Father. Every knee is going to bow. But now, you may bow the knee, or you may show disrespect to the Lord Jesus, and you may rebuke the Lord Jesus. You may say what you please, but not later. But now, it's so. But Jesus, having experienced all of these things, whenever he was the host, I challenge you to show me any lack of love, anything that was missing, that is described as a dinner of herbs where love is. When Jesus was the host, love was there. And that's what's so important. And you'll find everything that Simon did not give him, you'll find that it was given to those when Jesus was the host. Perhaps I'll give you the details as we go along. But here is what I want you to know. If you were eating the Passover with Jesus and he were the host, the menu is arranged. You would have lamb roast with fire. You would have unleavened bread. You would have bitter herbs. The menu has been arranged. But let me ask you this. If you went to Jesus' house to stay with him as they did in John 1, Rabbi, where do you live? Where dwellest thou? They went and they saw where he lived. I wonder how his house was decorated. God does not tell us. He tells us how the tabernacle is decorated, how the temple is decorated, how heaven is decorated. But he does not tell us about the room or dwelling in which Jesus lived. But I thought, and I said, I venture to say that it was like the rest of the Savior's habits on earth. And I remember that when the prophet was given a little room in the house of the family he was visiting, there was a bed, and there was a table, and there was a chair, and there was a candle. The necessities of life, they were there. I do not believe you would find any luxuries that were there, only the things that were essential. Now, in like manner, if you came to Jesus' house for dinner, and I come to your houses, and certain ladies specialize in certain foods. Some, you're going to have turkey. Some, you're going to have roast. Some, I know the people from England love to serve lamb, and I never get that unless I go to English homes. And so, at times, I become familiar with what menus are going to be served when I go to houses. Now, if you had dinner with Jesus, I venture to say I know just what he would give you. Bread and fish. You say, why? Well, when he fed 5,000, he fed them bread and fish. When he had fed 4,000, he fed them bread and fish. And in John chapter 21, when they came to the shore, he fed them bread and fish. And so if you came to Jesus' house, what do you think would be on the menu? I have no doubt that bread and fish would be on the menu. Of course it would. You see how the scripture tells us all these things? All right. For that reason, what I'm going to do is to simply look at what we read from John 6 and tell you the things that are present when Jesus is the host. And these things are like the things I told you Jesus looked over and criticized in Luke 14. About controversy and about criticizing the host and the guests and one who insinuates that he's going to heaven and Jesus says, I don't know if you're going there at all. Things like that. But when he is host, this is what I find. First of all, do you know why Jesus fed the 5,000? He looked on the multitudes and he had compassion on them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And then he said, later, I have compassion on the multitude. They are with me 3 days and they have nothing to eat. What motivated his feeding them? You say compassion. I see. Where love is. It was compassion and love, not curiosity. Zacchaeus went up that sycamore tree to see who Jesus was. And Simon the Pharisee, I have no doubt, was feeling Jesus out because he's watching everything he did. But Jesus is feeding all the multitude because Jesus had compassion. Now, he went into Simon's house and he said, Simon, he said, this woman loves much. He said, to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And so the Lord Jesus had that first essential because it says, better is a dinner of herbs where love is. And when you ate with Jesus, according to what I found in the scripture, you have a dinner of herbs, that is, vegetables, something small, something insignificant, something just sufficient, that's all. And it says, better is that kind of dinner where love is. Now, let me ask you, had you rather be in a house that's filled with tension and controversy and criticism where everything is on the table? Or had you rather eat with Jesus with just a few simple things and the room were filled with love? You say, I had rather be where love is. Well, remember that when people come to your home and when you come to my home, where love is, because love will motivate you to have people and care for them. And at the same time, love will have you to behave in a certain way once you've invited them into your home. Now, I told you that Jesus said, I came in and you didn't show me any love. Let me give you an illustration of the love and of the kiss. And I'm going to illustrate it simply this way. When Jesus was with his disciples, there was one named John, whom Jesus loved, and it said that he had his head upon Jesus' breast. Was there love there? You say, well, of course there was. Where Jesus was, there was love. Now, I told you that when Jesus came in, he said, you gave me no water for my feet. Tell me, is there comfort, is there attention to the comfort of other people when Jesus is the host? The feeding of the 5,000 is in four Gospels. The feeding of the 4,000 is in two Gospels, Matthew and Mark. And so, for the sake of time, I'm simply telling you everything that you find from all of them. Jesus said, command that they sit down upon the grass. You see, he's seeking out their comfort. And John tells us there was much grass there. And so the Lord Jesus wanted them to be comfortable when they sat down. That is similar to washing their feet. You say, but in John 13, when nobody else would wash feet, who was it that got up and girded himself and stooped down and washed feet? You say, Jesus did. He came into Simon's house, and Simon did not wash his feet. But when Jesus is there, is it not unthinkable that Jesus would wash their feet? But I told you that when Jesus tells you things that should be done, everything that is pertinent to his being the Son of God, all of these things are done. Even contradictory things like washing feet. And Simon said, you'll never wash my feet. Peter said that to him. And he said, if I wash thee not, you know the story. I'm just trying to bring out that what Jesus expected of others, when people ate with him, then he bestowed it upon them. And so there was love, yes, and there was comfort, the washing of feet, and there was honor. Well, what about the anointing the head with oil? That is an honor that is not deserving of everyone, but it is to be given to those in a later day. Because in the coming day, the Savior says, you who have been faithful as servants to me, in the parable, it says that he's going to gird himself and he's going to serve them in the world to come. And that's the marvelous thing. That he would stoop down and wash feet in the days of his flesh, but it says for those that have served him, he's going to give them more than a head anointed with oil. He is personally going to gird himself, the Son of God, and he's going to serve you. He is bestowing honor. He is anointing you and crowning you and doing things for you that you and I in no wise deserve as far as we can conceive. But he says, yes, you do. And so wherever Jesus is, there is love and nothing is missing. All right, what else is present when Jesus is there? Order. There are over 5,000. And the Lord Jesus said, have them to sit down in companies about 50 each. You see? And so it means, and had you ever thought of this, that had you looked where there was much grass, you would have seen 100 companies of about 50 each. We're not including the women and children. 100 little companies of about 50 each. Why? Because there was orderliness to the Lord Jesus. If you have 5,000 all trying to stand in line and yet nothing would ever get done, the Lord Jesus had thought the thing through and he had cooperation. He broke the loaves and the fishes and he gave them to the disciples, and then the disciples went and took them to others. If there were just a few, as the 7 in John chapter 21, the Lord Jesus would serve them himself. But if the Savior had to break the loaves and the fishes and then go and serve this group of 50 and come back and break loaves and fishes and serve that, and so as fast as he broke the loaves and the fishes, he would say, Peter, take them to them. James, take them to them. And so he is the one who distributed them. And I've seen that happen when I've been in a home where it was quite formal. The head of the house would cut the roast, and then he would put the plate, and he knew just which one to give it to first and which one to give it to last. And so here, if there are 5,000, there was one of those 100 companies of 50 that received it last, but the Lord Jesus was the one who said, now, take it to them. You see, he was the one. He had the order and the thoughtfulness, and this way, all of them would get fed. These 50 have already been fed. Now, take it to those. That's the way it was with Jesus. And this is so precious. The thankfulness of our Savior. What do we have here? Well, there's a little boy here who has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He says, you bring them to me. And it says, the Lord Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven and gave thanks. Now, I wonder, how thankful are you for the essentials of life? God forgive us. We have to have everything. We have to have abundance. And if we do not have that abundance, the sad thing is this. If we do not have that abundance, then we criticize and wonder whether God loves us. The Lord Jesus has 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he lifts up his eyes to heaven, and he gives thanks. And I'm going to tell you something even more precious than that. In the feeding of the 4,000, they have 7 loaves, and he gives thanks for those 7 loaves. And we are told that later they find a few fishes, and when the fishes come, it says the Lord Jesus again gives thanks for them. Now you and I, why, if we'd given thanks one time for the loaves, the Lord is not much, but at least it's something we would give thanks for it. And if somebody brought some fishes, well, this is more like it. But the Lord Jesus did not take for granted this abundance. But there was thankfulness on the part of the Savior. And when there were 7 loaves, the Savior thanked his Father for this food. And then when there was an additional benefit of fishes, the Lord Jesus thanked his Father again. Be ye thankful. That's what God wants us to do. Instead of complaining, I want more. Take heed and beware of all covetousness. That's what God tells us. And the Lord Jesus was thankful. You remember? When he fed the 7 in John chapter 21, he had bread and fish. And that was all. And he did not say, oh, I feel so embarrassed, I don't have more to set before you. The Lord Jesus had no embarrassment. And in like manner, you women do not have to be embarrassed when you invite other people in. You have to have this peace before them, or you feel so ashamed. Well, then I'm ashamed of you for feeling ashamed. Because learn from the Bible. The Lord Jesus said, Martha, Martha, he said, she's chosen the good thing. Not much is necessary. He said, this is all that's necessary. To have bread and fish and a spiritual conversation with the Lord Jesus, what could be more wonderful? And yet, those like Martha, everything has to be prepared right. We have to have abundance. The Lord Jesus said, bread and fish where love is. That's the thing that counts. And so, let us indoctrinate ourselves. And if someone comes to your home and you give them simple things, if you want to give them vegetables and bread and fish, a few simple things, that's fine. You don't have to feel embarrassed if you do not give them a feast. Just give them essential things. And if they criticize, then point out that the Lord Jesus, when he invited to dinner, he served bread and fish, and that is all. And one other thing. When God fed Elijah, you know what he fed Elijah by the brook Kirith? It said, bread and flesh. Yes, in the morning and in the evening. You say bread and flesh and water of the brook.
That's right. That's all they had to drink.
And then finally, the brook ran up and the birds stopped coming to him. And so the Lord said, go to that widow of Zarephath. And she had a handful of meal and a little oil in her cruse. And Elijah said, give me first. And she did. And so for the rest of the famine, do you know what Elijah ate? Bread.
That's all.
Bread and fish was bad enough. Start complaining. And then God can give you bread. You understand? And so that's all he had. All that the Bible tells us. Bread. But the woman lived through the famine, and Elijah lived through the famine, and they were thankful to God that they had food because others were starving to death. And so when you're where Jesus is, there is thankfulness. And I want to tell you this. Where love is, there was also criticism. You say, what? Don't you remember how Jesus would correct everything that was going wrong? When he was in Martha's house, Martha, Martha, your sister Mary has chosen the good part. When he was in the house of Simon the Pharisee, Simon, now this is what should be done. And now when he's with Peter, and this is what is so tender, the Savior personally serves the disciples. He takes the bread and the fish and serves them in John chapter 21. And he waits patiently. And when they get through eating, he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Do you see every time? Why does he have to do that? Because he's always going to take opportunity to teach or to correct, to reprove, whatever is necessary. And so when Simon gets through, and that's so thoughtful, because when you're eating and people are criticizing you, who could enjoy the meal? But they had toiled all night and had taken nothing, and they were hungry. And after they are satisfied, then the Lord Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And then that matter was straightened out. You say, that's love. It says in Hebrews 12 and in Revelation 3, as many as I love, I reprove and chasten. I told you it was where love was. And so the chastening and reproof is because Jesus loves. And if he doesn't give it to you, you are a bastard and no son. That's what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. And so if you dine with Jesus, Jesus gives an invitation to dinner, then here will be a dinner where love is. And he wants you to come. He wants you to come and not only enjoy the physical things like he gave them on earth, but he wants you to enjoy the spiritual things as well. The Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of God from heaven. He said, if you eat me, you will live forever. And so Jesus invites you to dinner. He wants you to feast on him. He gave his body. He shed his precious blood on the cross for you to be saved. Now come and by faith, partake of that meal. And then, as physical bread sustains you on earth for a few days, the bread of God, the Lord Jesus, will sustain you eternally. Receive him. Feast upon him by faith. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the things thou dost tell us about thy Son sitting upon the throne high and lifted up in heaven. We thank you for the things thou dost tell us about thy Son laying aside his garments, girding himself with a towel, and serving on earth. We thank you for the heavenly things, the earthly things about thy Son. Let us remember them all, and let us learn from them all. Let us worship him because he is God manifest in the flesh. But then let us see the way he behaved, and let us pattern ourselves after his behavior. Let us, Father, when we dine, let us have a dinner where love is. And may all our actions be motivated by love, not without the reproof and rebuke, because he brought that as well. But let us, in feasting and in our everyday actions of life, let there always be love. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.